prayer before reading of the scriptures. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who are just joining us, and if you have your Bibles with you, this evening I would like to draw our attention to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 11. And the focus of the verse that I would like for us to bring our attention to is verse 28. And I'll go ahead and read the passage in its context, beginning at verse 17. St. John chapter 11, verse 17, ending at verse 28. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Then Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. For those of you, as you have just heard this gospel reading, the focus of our devotional for this evening is pretty much that last verse, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." As you know, this story of Jesus coming to Bethany and the experience that Martha and Mary and many of the women were going through is that they were mourning over the loss of their brother, Lazarus, who had just passed away. And this passage is typical to us around the time of week, specifically on right before Palm Sunday. But sir, I kind of wanted to bring this back to our attention just because it relates to many of us who are here, obviously, on this call, as well as many of our students and our young professionals who are beginning a new academic year, looking at new job opportunities, and so on and so forth. And I think it's a good reminder for us of the presence of God in our lives. See, Martha approached Jesus and spoke to him. She then acted efforts to go back home and tell Mary. This exchange that we see here, the story of the raising of Lazarus 4 days after he died, is actually only narrated by St. John. And as I mentioned, the church remembers this significant act of Jesus on the Saturday before Palm Sunday. And usually in our church, we refer to it as Lazarus Saturday. But the point that I really wanted us to think through is Martha reminding her sister Mary of the presence of Christ. And I think, really believe that this is a lesson for all of us, as we, in our day-to-day lives, often forget the presence of God. And moreover, most of the times, we take away from experiencing the presence of God. And what do I mean? The first kind of thought that I wanted us to reflect on is, what is the presence of God? What is the presence of God? If I asked a lot of children, what is the presence of God? A lot of them really don't have an answer because we don't physically see God in our day-to-day lives like the way we do our parents or our brothers and sisters or our teachers or our elders. And so I often kind of explained it to them in such a way where I always think about a fish. It's quite unique how a lot of children nowadays, they have pet fish at home and they make sure that they take care of it very, very well. And a lot of times I would ask kids, what would happen if I just picked up the fish out of the water? And the kid would go, oh, the fish would die if you take it out of the water. And I think oftentimes we can experience and we can think about our Christian life, not trying to compare it that to the life of a fish, but giving it as an example, that just as a fish lives in water and cannot survive outside of it, so we too must constantly live in the presence of God. And quite frankly, it is difficult to survive outside of the presence of God. We are often, I feel, unaware of the presence of God. I think many times we forget that God's presence is everywhere at all times and at all moments. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 28, it says, for in him we live and move and exist. I'm going to repeat that again. For in him we live and move and exist. I think a lot of us, including myself, we tend to compartmentalize our lives in such a way that we kind of box up God into this corner of our life. And a lot of times that box is only opened when we feel like we are in need of him. And it is possible for us to realize the presence of God in our lives. And I think one thing that we also forget is that when we sin, we most of the time hide ourselves from God's presence, just as Adam and Eve hid behind the trees. And if we look at the psalmist, King David, when we read Psalm 51 each week, it says, do not cast me away from your presence. See, that was the experience, and that was the prayer of David. Lord, I know that I have done wrong, but all I want is that I do not want to be casted away from your presence. And I think that sometimes the danger that we put ourselves into is that we keep isolating, and we keep pushing away, and we're saying, Lord, in a way, we're casting ourselves from the presence of God. And when I say the presence of God, I'm also speaking of the presence of Christ. If you remember, Jesus, known as Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel means God with us, or God is with us. And that was the whole mystery and the beauty of the incarnation, that when God became man, he lived amongst us. And Christ's entire life reminds us of the experience of living in the presence of God. Even after his resurrection, Jesus kept assuring his disciples that he will be with them until the end of ages. There was this constant reassuring that he was never going to abandon, that he was never going to leave our presence unless we chose for that to take place. And when I say the presence of God, it is also the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. All of us Orthodox Christians, if we truly believe, we have all been anointed with the Holy Moron, or the Holy Chrism. And through our baptism and chrismation, we have already been set apart as a dwelling place of God. You know, and St. Paul reminds us in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Whether you want to believe it or not, as a baptized or chrismated member of the Holy Church, God does dwell in you and in me and in those around us within the Holy Church. So now that we know that the presence of God is always in us and among us and around us, the question I kind of wanted to bring to our attention next is, how do we experience God's presence? I think one of the biggest problems is that the failure to experience God is because of the noise in our lives. If you look at our life, the noise in our life drowns out the presence of God. And what do I mean by that? If you remember the prophet Elijah, if you remember 1 Kings chapter 19, he experienced the presence of God at Mount Horeb. And what do I mean by that? Well, God told Elijah that he would pass by. And Elijah was constantly waiting. And so first there was a huge, great wind which broke the rocks in pieces. Then an earthquake followed. And after that, a fire. And Elijah was wondering, where is the Lord in the midst of all of this? He was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. And then what happened was, there was just a moment of sheer silence. Sheer silence. What I mean by that is if I were to stop speaking at this moment, I assume that there would be sheer silence on the line. I'm not sure what you guys may be doing at home. I mean, that's different. Or wherever you may be, even on the road at this moment. But it was in sheer silence that Elijah felt God's presence. And I want you to go back after we're done this evening and read 1 Kings chapter 19 and really soak in this experience of Elijah feeling the presence of God at Mount Horeb. And I think we too, we know that we have God's presence within us, but in order to experience it, I think we really, really need moments of calm stillness. And King David reminds us in Psalm 46, verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's a common verse, but how many of us are willing to be still for a moment? So now that we know what it is required from us to experience God, and that is silence, is one of the main aspects. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the presence of God and how comforting and soothing it is for us. You know, a lot of times when we think about the presence of God, it can be, in a way, overbearing, or we may feel like overwhelmed because God's presence is mighty. And Jesus walks into the mourning house in Bethany, and he comforts these two sisters who are just mourning over the loss of their beloved brother. He has compassion on the sisters. He empathizes with them. He was even deeply moved and weeps for his brother Lazarus. And I think this comforting presence of God is with all of us in all of our moments of pain, struggle, trials, tribulations. When we go through suffering, the Christ who suffered on the cross is there with us. We feel the comforting presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And we often refer to Holy Spirit as the Paraclete. The Greek word Paraclete can be translated as comforter. And that was what Christ had promised when he ascended. Prior to ascending, he says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." That's from St. John chapter 14, verse 26. So God's presence is certainly in us, and we can experience it through sheer silence or stillness, and we can be comforted by the presence of God. And lastly, we can be transformed with the presence of God. When we begin to realize and when we accept that we are in the presence of God, I truly believe that it will lead to real change in our lives. When Moses came into the presence of God, he was asked to remove the sandals from his feet. I think for us, this idea of removing the dirt or the mud that we have accumulated during our journey of life is something that we need to remove when we come to the presence of God. The presence of Christ transformed the house that was mourning in Bethany. Lazarus, who was buried for 4 days, was brought back to life. Christ revitalizes. He brings back to life. And many of us who may feel spiritually sick or even spiritually dead, this is the moment for us to be reborn in the presence of God and be transformed. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, Martha went ahead and informed her sister Mary that the teacher is here, that God was among them. And I think that's what we need to remind ourselves of this evening. I leave with the thought of this gospel where it says, the teacher has come and is calling for you. Do we want to accept and know that God's presence is within us, that we can indeed experience it, that we can be comforted by the presence of God, and that we can be indeed transformed by the presence of God? I hope and pray that this will be a reminder for all of our students and each and every one of us as we continue in our spiritual journey and in our life together within the Holy Church. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.